Hello to all Earth citizens and welcome to my Conscious Coaching Podcast. This is Dr. Kianush, founder and creative director of MCCG. My Conscious Coaching Group is a non-political, non-religious 501c3 coaching nonprofit with initiatives in healthcare, leadership, and education with focus on emotional and spiritual intelligence. Our vision is to raise self and global awareness for a conscious mind through education and application of EQ and SQ, and our mission is to connect, collaborate, and partner with hospitals, academics, colleges, and medical schools and organizations to embrace growth, self-healing, and self-coaching to achieve well-being and peak performance of individuals and the team as a one connected whole. Today, our special and new friend and guest speaker is Dr. Robert Coppes. Robert is a scientist and retired financier, earned his Doctor of Philosophy from University of Groningen, and currently lives in Amsterdam, Netherlands. He is author of Impressions of Near-Death Experience, and he has studied NDEs for decades and has lectured on this topic in the US and Europe. He considers his recent book also his best work on NDEs because of the wealth of quotes from experiencers, which in his opinion are the best tutors in life. I know Robert from International Association of Near-Death Studies, which we call it IANS, where we both have served this community as our passion and calling. Hello, Robert. Welcome to MCCG Podcast, and thank you for being here today.
Hi, Kanush, and thank you for having me on your show. It's very nice to be here with you.
It's a pleasure to have you, Robert. I always ask this question, you know, from our guest speakers, how do you like the world to know you? Because I believe the bio doesn't cover it all. And sometimes, I mean, we need something more personal from our speakers so we can remember them by it.
Well, you said I was, I studied in Groningen. I'm an economist. That's true. And this shows you that even economists can be spiritually oriented or interested in subjects like near-death experiences.
That's correct. That's correct. So that's a very blessing to have you here today with us. And not talking about the finances, but maybe about the other, you know, numbers and critical points in life.
Absolutely.
You have this wonderful book, so The Impressions of Near-Death Experience. So tell us a little bit about your book and why do you call it Impressions?
Now, what I thought of is writing a book with a lot of quotes in it from NDEers, from people who've had a near-death experience. Because if you look at a building, you only look at the front side. You don't see the backside, you don't see the sides, you don't see the interior. If you want to do that, you need to have more points of view. Same with near-death experiences. If you want to understand a near-death experience, you need to have more points of view, more quotes, more views from people who've had such an experience. And that's what I wanted to do in my book. I have hundreds of quotes of more than 100 NDEers. And when the people read through them, I think they will get a good impression of what an NDE is. No one will be able to really tell you what exactly an NDE is because that's impossible. But if you have a lot of quotes, you get your impression of what it is.
Yeah, some ideas close to the reality of it. How long did it take you to write this book, Robert?
I did write it in 3 years or so. I started at the beginning of the corona crisis and gathered all these quotes together. Yeah, it was a very interesting job to do. Revealing also for myself because I got a lot of knowledge from it myself.
Yeah, I can say you had many aha moments, you know, writing this book as a journey also for yourself. And who could have guessed that it's just going to be such a gift and blessing for many people reading it. What made you to write it, Robert?
Well, what I thought of when I started being interested in near-death experiences, I thought, what did I want to know? What did I want to read about them? And that's, I wanted to see stories from near-death experiences, but also Not the whole story, not the story how they die, because that's, of course, for the in the ear, that's painful how that went. But the interesting part is when you're in the other world, when you are in this place that is so unearthly, but so beautiful and so mind-boggling. And I wanted to know more about those. And what I did in my book is to group quotes together in 12 segments, in 12 chapters, starting with how do you get out of your body and ending with the after effects and how do you get into your body again. But in between, everything like veridical observations, those are like sort of circumstantial evidence that NDEs are real. And also, what about this otherworldly environment, the light, the life reviews? Also, distressing NDEs, they are there. But also, why are we on Earth? Things like that. So, all these 12 chapters, there's quotes grouped together so people can get their impression of what it is and come to their own conclusion. I don't have to tell people what to conclude. They can conclude themselves when they read through all these passages, all these quotes.
Yeah, very interesting. And you brought up very very touching point that, I mean, although it's painful, I mean that the way that everyone that has their story has had their NDE, but the important part also is how they lived after that and through the
Yes.
experience and what they did with it. Because as we know, the NDE, the experience by itself, is just a fraction of what is happening in the journey of these people's life, and how it transformed them and what they do with it and how it changes them. So it's just that's what the stays with them, and the real story is there. Which one of these quotes that interviews that you have done has touched you the most?
Oh, that's a difficult question. You know,
Yeah, I
there are a few that I really that really struck me. One of them, for instance, there are two that come to my mind, but the first one is a woman who had her near-death experience. And if you are in such an experience, you have such an experience, the feeling you have is that you know everything. It is all the knowledge is there for you. You understand life, you understand why we are need to go to the other side. When we die, you understand everything. But she had to go back again to her body because she had was told to her, and that's typically done to many NDEs, it's not your time, you need to go back. So she knew she had to go back, and she wanted to go back because she had a child to look after. And then she thought, how can I remember all that knowledge? I know that I will lose it, all that knowledge, but I want to remember it, and I will put it in one sentence that says it all. And then she remembered, she held on to that one sentence, and that one sentence was, all is everything, and everything is one. And meaning that she thought that is how it is. We are all one. Everything is one. We are part of one big whole. We think we are separate, that you are somewhere in the United States, you're sitting in Washington, I'm sitting in Amsterdam. But in the same time, we don't see that we are the same. We are one. We are part of this big whole. So that is one of those that really struck me.
Yeah, I really relate to that because I'm an experiencer myself. I have had NDE and out of body experience, near death experience, and shared death experience as well. So, and as you mentioned, the coming back to the body is not a comfortable, feeling. The
It's
coming back,
horrible.
it is, yeah. So with the twice out of body experience as I at in my childhood actually, and with the NDEs, I was an adult, so I was in my 30s when I had in my NDEs, and all experiences of coming to the body wasn't pleasant. But the
No.
other thing, the difference between me and your story, that the quote that you are talking about, is just I didn't want to come back, and I was even mad at my husband that was calling me, my name, and because I came back because I wanted to see that what he wants from me. So I got permission. Can I just go 1 second, see what my husband is?
Oh,
Why is he
yeah.
calling
And
me?
then you're
So.
back. Suddenly you're back again.
Yeah, I'm here back. I was back again, and I mean, mad of him. Why did he call me? I wanted to stay there. It was just as you mentioned, all the knowledge was there, all the information, all the love was there, and my home was there. That was the reality, and this life wasn't, and so that the interesting part, you referred to the knowledge. And that was true. I knew everything. I didn't, the answers to all my questions were there. And but when I came back, as you mentioned, I kind of not forgot it, but they were just being kept there. But also, just as someone that like riding the bicycle, but doesn't have the bicycle, but if they give him the bicycle, he still can ride it. So I knew how riding the bicycle is. So the feeling was with me, and the answer was with me, that love is the answer. So, and I tried to stick to answer. So no matter what happens in life, I'm gonna just stick to do my best to have a love response. So, and that has been actually the motto of my coaching practice as well. So, and I always talk with my clients when we are having a conversation, what do you think love is gonna do? And that was, the souvenir that I brought with myself. So, being that said, to your opinion, why do you think people should take the NDE seriously?
Oh, there's, what I understand from NDEs is that there is a lot of hope in it. As you said just before that it's actually the other side is your home. That's where you belong. That's where you go to. That's what I hear from so many NDEs. And that's one of the most important things that this earth place is not our home. We're just here for temporary time. And life, a death is not the end. That's the other thing that's very important. What I think is important for people to take NDE serious, it will, if you understand what they are, it will improve your life, it will enhance your life, you will feel better. Also, especially with the idea that it's a zero-sum game. What I do to you, I do to myself because we are one. That is something you can find in life reviews where people see what they did to others as if they are those others. And that's people need to it's important to listen to what I said there. It's if you do something to an other, you will feel it as if you are that other. You are that other for temporary time, and then you can feel what it is what you did to those people. And that is what comes out of life reviews.
Yeah, so you just read my mind. I just want to ask you, and said now my next question, that some people had to have a life review. I didn't have it, so when I had my NDEs, or maybe I had it and it was just so quick, I don't know. I just remember I had two, like a screenshot of one, my internship in medical school. I was in the war, Iran-Iraq war, and then another scene. And it wasn't a review, it was just kind of remembrance, the most two critical events in my life. But you talk about the life reviews, but what do you think the life reviews effect, has on the people who have it?
Well, life reviews are an NDE in itself is life-changing, as you said before. But a life review is so overwhelming because you can see what you did in your life. Some people were very young when they saw their life review, like this. What I know from one of the children that is in my book. But some people have a long life and they see everything they did during their life. But they see it from both points of view. So it's from your own point of view as the giver, so to speak, but also from the point of view of the receiver. So and that is really, let me give you an example. There is a Dutch woman who was very small after the war in the Netherlands, the Second World War. And there was the Netherlands were a war-torn country. Everything was terribly was nothing there. There was no luxury goods, and she got some sweets from her mother to share with the children in school. Now, later on in her life, she had her NDE, and in her NDE, she had her life review. And during her life review, she saw that particular point in time where she shared the sweets with these children. Now, and then what she noticed is that she was the schoolmate, and that she felt how the schoolmate felt. And but it didn't remain with the schoolmate, the schoolgirl. It went further, went also to the mother and to further beyond. So there is a ripple effect to everything you do, whatever it is, being loving actions or non-loving actions. Everything has a ripple to it, and it goes to places where you don't feel or where you don't know these things will go, but they go further than what you see. And the same school child had another school friend who had lice, and she said she asked me to help her because then there were no shampoos to get rid of those, and she had to do that manually. So, and then the NDE said to this school friend, "Oh, come on, let's go." And she said it in such a loud voice that everyone could hear that. And in her life review, she saw that particular moment, and she felt how it was like stabbing into the heart of the school friend. She was the school friend, and she felt what it was to receive those remarks. And the interesting point here was what she said is that that was in itself was horrible. It felt terrible, but that was not the most terrible thing from this experience. The most terrible thing from that experience was that she saw that she had options. She had several options, and the other options would have given much more love and light into the world. And she missed out on those. And that really felt horrible. That felt painful. And I thought that was interesting that you can take such a point of view, and it helps you in your present life. It can help everyone in their present life if they realize that what they do to another, they do in fact to themselves.
Yeah, it is true. And I mean, it's the system, it's the whole ecosystem of the souls, as we all are one giant, you know, soul. And as I wrote in my chapter book, we all are soul particles, and making that big picture together. So whatever we do to this system, to this whole ecosystem, that is just gonna change it either for good or for bad, and it's coming back to us in a way that we're giving back to it. And what do you think is the relationship between the NDE or NDEers and the leadership? So I'm recently very drawn to this, making observations that how the NDE or NDEers have shifted, you know, in a way to philanthropy, as we know. You know, I myself am an example of it. And I've seen, you know, many other physicians, you know, leaders, that how their life has changed and what kind of a leader they have become. What do you think about that?
Leadership and NDEs, that's interesting to see. You know, I've been working for the Dutch Central Bank, and I've been working for people who were manager, and you know, they had big egos. And I think in corporates in the US, or it doesn't matter where, in Europe, anywhere, there are people with big egos. But what you learn from an NDE is that your ego is not important. The fact that we are one, that you are very closely interconnected with everyone, so also with the people that work for you, is standing out from an NDE. So if leaders would understand that, would know that they are one with everyone, but also with the people they work for and with the people that are in the market, they will probably change their actions. They would work more together with the people that work for them. And the point is that you should realize that you are not your ego. You are divine. Everyone is divine. And the thing is that you need to express your divinity. I think that's one of the things that I got out of NDEs. We are divine. I'm divine. You are divine. But we need to express that divinity. And we can do that through leadership. And leadership in a sense of cooperation with others to get to a very to something good that's not subtracting from the world, but it's adding to the world. I think those things are important, but we're not there yet. I think it's I hope that NDEers might show the way in this in the sense that we are one. That's an important message, according to me.
Yeah, I do believe that the NDEs are change maker too, and are agent of the universe somehow, some way, if they find, their calling. For me, as you know, that took me a decade, a couple of years. I ignored the message. I thought that is something that is just gonna fade away, until I started doing my own research, and I found out about the experience, and that was as real as I'm feeling it now, and I wasn't the only one. And the other point that you brought up is just about the NDE leadership, is just the connection. So I do believe that NDEs has this gift of feeling that they are connected to the bigger whole. They are connected to that source. I mean,
Absolutely.
yeah, you and I don't use the word God. We call it universe, or I don't know,
Yes.
the source, but yeah, the
The
NDEs.
word God is always kind of, people think of religious contexts like this man with a beard or whatever, but it's not that way. It's different.
Spirituality is different from religion, but I mean, we
Absolutely.
all believe in a source, of an intelligent source. So I mean, the religions call it God. I mean, that's to their way of understanding it. I mean, in our world, we call it, the source or the universe.
Yeah.
And what I meant was the connection that the NDEs had with that source, and they bring that connection and that love with them and within them, as a gift that they, I feel responsible. I have to share it with the world. So that's one of the reason I have launched this nonprofit, and I'm doing this podcast. So to share this gift, to share this love, to share this connection and calling with the world by talking with people like you, just that as a source of, the my calling and my mission, or the passion or connection that I had and have is still with that source. And I believe the leaders, and as you mentioned, either they had the NDEs or they don't have an NDEs, this connection is a very important part of a successful leadership as well. That how they can be connected with their higher self, with that source, and how they can be connected with the people who they are working with for, or they are working with. So that's the I
But that
think.
applies to everyone. Everyone has that connection with the divine, with the universe. So not only the people that are have a leadership function, but everyone has the connection with the universe, with the supreme one, I like to call it, or God, if you want to call it God, that's fine with me. But we all have that connection, and we can benefit from it when we really feel it, when we are close to it.
Yeah, beautifully put it. And we have this connection, as a living with our, other half, with our spouse, with our children, as a parents also as well. And that connection comes from the love. That
Yes.
love is the bridge for that connection.
Yeah, the whole idea is that God or the Supreme One is unconditional love. It's and then I always tell people to consider what is unconditional love. It's love without any condition. So you can be Muslim, you can be Christian, you can be a woman or a man, or rich or poor, or black or white or yellow or green or whatever color you have. It doesn't matter. The beggar in the street and the king and the president all are connected to this supreme one.
We are. And getting toward the end of our podcast, the last question, but not the least one. I believe that many of us always have asked this question from ourselves: who am I and why am I doing here? So what do you think we are doing on Earth? So that what's the purpose for it?
That's an interesting question. You know, having gone through a lot of quotes, some people have really asked, what is the purpose for life? Why are we here? And some people got it as a bonus. And it varies what they have heard. But the thing that I liked very much is, are we here to learn? Some people say yes. But many people say, no, we already have all the knowledge within us. And then I remember this, and it's also in my book, Impressions of Near-Death Experiences, this story about Christina, a young girl of 8 years old who was assaulted by two men. They tried to drown her, and she had her NDE. She survived because her father rescued her. But she had her NDE, and in her NDE, she had a connection with this person that she thought first was Santa Claus, but then she thought, no, it must have been God. It must be God that we know. And God spoke to her, and he said, life is very easy. You have to go back, but it's very easy. I'll give you the ingredients to do it right, and that's the purpose of life, those four ingredients. And the ingredients were love, be loved, just be, experience life. Those were the four ingredients. Love, be loved, just be, experience life. And I like those. It's very nice. The first two, you need to do something with it. It requires action. You also need to allow other people to love you. And the latter two, just be and experience life. You can do that by sitting on a chair. You don't have to do anything with it. But we are here to experience life. That's important. No matter how difficult it is, it is there with for a purpose. And we don't know the purpose while being on Earth, but everyone has a purpose. There are no unimportant people. That's what I understand from NDEs.
I have this butterfly video on my website that I love it very much. That's the reason that I put it there. It says we all have a purpose and a calling, and what we can do, what I can do, is
Absolutely.
different from what you can do. So, and
Absolutely.
although we are connected, but we all have our own part in this life to make a
Yes.
difference. And you brought up a very touchy point about the permission to love, permission to be loved as well. So I'm just going back to the part that we also have to allow ourselves to for the self-love, the way that we are, the
Oh,
self-compassion, you know, as an important part
very
of.
important, very important to love yourself as well, not only others, but yourself as well.
And sometimes this is difficult. Sometimes, you know, we can love others, but we cannot love ourselves. We can help others,
Yes.
but we cannot help ourselves. But it all starts from loving from somewhere, as you mentioned. So, and that's the key, the love response. And hopefully it starts from us and we spread it to the world. But then, I mean, it can go also the other way around.
It's
And to
almost something that you hear in an airplane. First, put on your own oxygen mask before you put on oxygen mask for others. First,
Exactly.
love yourself, and then you're able to love others.
Yeah, great metaphor for it. We use that a lot on coaching as well. So on the self-care part. So, And again, to recap, those four important ingredients: love, be love, just be, and experience love, and experience
Experience
life.
life.
Yeah,
That's it.
life, life. And to my opinion, when I came back from my Indies, life to me was a school of life. So everything about it was just, learning and experiencing, as you mentioned. And
But coming back is not easy. It's difficult. And I maybe you also have this sense of longing for home, homesickness.
I call myself edge walker, so because I always feel I'm on that edge, so I don't belong to any world, but also I love both worlds. I'm standing in between, so I feel I'm being pulled, and my heart is on the real home, but then my mission and calling and the people that I love are in this side. So, and I have to finish the calling. So
And
then
you have
go
your
back.
purpose, you have your task to fulfill, and only
Exactly.
if you've done that, you can go back.
Exactly. So, and I feel that that's the reason that I was given permission to be back. So I tease my husband about it, and says, when he says that, oh, you are putting too much in this work, and I says that I feel that I'm running out of time, and I have to do this. And you don't want me to go back and not come back. If I don't do it, then I feel that, this time I'm gonna die and don't come back again. So if I want to forget, the calling and the promise that I've been given to God. And being that said, how our listener can buy your book, or know more about what you are doing, or get connected with you?
People can buy my book at Amazon. It's in Amazon, and but they can also access my website, which is www, and then Bob Kopus. Copus, you write with Copes.com. So Bob Copus. That's where they can also. There's a form to fill in if you want to have a question. I'll answer any question people ask.
That would be great. Thank you for your generous, contribution and experience, and the gift of your book, to the world and all the people who are curious about how NDEs is and how it can change, their life, and has changed many others as well. We are gonna put all the links, and the information about it also, when we announce the podcast in the social media, and also on our YouTube channel, under the interview as well. But it's very close to the holiday time, so then we appreciate you and wish you a magical holiday.